Amen. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. It's interesting how we have those songs and we sing those songs as in our young age, and we sing those songs with enthusiasm, and not until you get older do you realize what saying yes, Lord, yes, what that meant and what that means for your life. To walk in His will, to be ordered and have Him order your steps. It's a blessing to be here today as we wrap up this month of July. I'm just honored to be here in the house of God and worshiping with you. I want to thank the Lord just for having an opportunity to come in and experience the joy of worship through song. Musicians, praise team, it's an awesome privilege that the Lord has put in your bones, placed in your spirit. I'm always reminded of how David delivered up sheet music and gave it to the sons of Korah as they were getting ready to bring the ark in. And for him to write that song for God and to go back and listen to it, and not just listen to it and not just to hear them sing it, but to celebrate God from the backside when in the king's seat and celebrate God's goodness and jump up and celebrate him and cause his outer robe to fall off. Because it wasn't about his garment, it was about his heart. And so thank you so much for allowing God to use you, praise team and musicians, and just thank God for his angels to come down and to lift up these holy songs and allow us to sing along. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. And we're picking up where there is already a discussion, but time would fail me today to go through the whole discussion. But as Paul is writing the people in Rome, he's talking about this idea of what we encounter along the way. And he says that there's nothing that will separate us from the love of God. He said, even though we are like sheep going to the slaughter, he says these powerful words. I love it. He says, all day long we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But here's verse 37. It says, no or nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He says, despite all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. New Living Translation says, through Christ who loved us. And so today I just wanted to talk a little bit about, just have a discussion about opening ceremony. Opening ceremony. We're praying, Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love and your mercy. We appreciate, dear Lord, this opportunity to have this experience with you. And now, oh Lord, I ask that you'll walk us through you, the Word of God. Allow us, oh Lord, to experience you in such a way that we never have before. I ask, dear God, that you will move all distractions and bind the devil both hand and foot. Move him from this place. And dear Lord, I pray that you be glorified, that you, dear Lord, are honored. Dear Lord, may nothing of my words be heard, none of my thoughts, dear Lord, be conveyed this day. But I pray, oh Lord, that we will hear from you that which you have reserved on this 27th day of July, 2024, this last Sabbath of July. We ask you, Lord, you'll speak to us. Preach, oh Lord, preach that which you've reserved. In Jesus' name, we do ask these things. Amen. And amen. Many of you may be aware that yesterday marked the opening or the beginning of the 2024 Summer Olympics. And so, as you may be aware, it is being hosted by Paris, France, this year. And what they do is they have the top athletes from all the countries around come out, and when they come out, they celebrate or they honor their country by having someone bear the flag on behalf of their country. They will walk in a group together, and typically they will make their way over. Now they're making their way over to the Olympic Village, if you will, or the place where they'll participate in these games, where they'll have competition. And so yesterday, it was just a very interesting sight. They actually had these different countries and all the athletes representing these countries take these boats down the river. And as they got on these boats and they made their way down the river, they were making their way over. I mean, talking about hundreds upon hundreds of athletes who are all climbing into these boats, and they're making their way down the river. And they all have on this different garb representing their countries. And there are, say, 200 plus, I believe 205, don't hold me to that number, countries or regions that are being represented. And I know there are some geography experts here who are saying, well, how can you have 200 plus when we've only identified 193, or some say 195 countries globally? And so don't get on me. This is an Olympic committee that has designated over 200 and roughly five different areas that are represented in these competitions. And so literally you have some countries that have eight people who are coming from their country to represent them. Eight. You have other countries that have hundreds of athletes that are going over, and all of them making their way on these boats, traveling down this river. And so it marks the opening. And so what I realized as they were going through, you'll find individuals who they have on these real, have you ever seen the what they wear when they're going over the outfits? Man, I wanted to see if I could get one, but apparently you have to actually be representing your country and an athlete to, I could have done it, but they didn't call when I was home. I had left and the phone was a new number, and I think they had the old number on there and it wasn't plugged in. But as I look at what they wear, I mean, it's just some nice little outfit. I mean, it would fit nice. It would look good on. I think it would look good on me. I think I could wear that. And what I realize when I'm looking at all these individuals come in, you know, they have no sweat on the outfits yet. They haven't yet competed against one another. There's no blood on the outfits yet, because they haven't actually engaged in competition that may bring forth a cut or a busted, you know, just something. Things happen along the way. Remember the landing years ago? Some of you are too young. Remember that little that landing, that bad ankle landing. She still stuck the landing, though. She stuck it. But she was, it was a limp landing, just, you know. But sometimes you end up with some blood, but there was no, that yesterday's the opening ceremony. There's no blood yet. There's not even tears yet that have hit those outfits, because they haven't competed. Maybe some may have been happy just to get there, and maybe they have, but the tears that run throughout the course of the Olympic Games are very different. So in the beginning, the outfit's clean, starched up, cleaned up, dry cleaned up. It's, you know, all the, you can see all the regalia. But I thought about that opening ceremony, and I began to look at what we have for opening ceremony. I just want to treat, if you would just give me license, I want to take a look at scripture in Revelation chapter 6. Is that okay if I just take a little look in just the book that the Lord has given us for these last days? Revelation chapter 6 says something very powerful. Now, the whole Bible is very powerful, but I'm going to give some context after I read the verse, okay? Here's what it says in verse 1, Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, and I'll also take a look at verse 2, but not right away. Watch what it says, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. I want you to just really just put yourself in this for a moment. John the Revelator, the Apostle John, who has been banished to this island of Patmos, is now caught up and he is caught up to a place where God is revealing to him, understand the name of the book now, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the name of the book, right? It's not Revelations. You know, some folk have different names for different books. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So John is literally seeing Jesus Christ. He spent 3.5 years with Jesus in the flesh. He was a disciple. He actually, in his book, his Gospel According to John, refers to himself as the one whom he loved. In other words, the one who Jesus loved. He was there. He used to lay up on Jesus and spend time hearing Jesus speak and listening to him pray and engage in the goodness of God. He saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw the glory of God shining through him. He saw him having a conversation with Moses and with Elijah. He saw all of this. And as he has witnessed bread just multiplying, and although it was broken, still yet whole, and although he has seen this two times over, John now, the Bible says, is having Jesus Christ revealed to him as he has never seen him or experienced him before. And so now, in this moment, the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, John is there on the Isle of Patmos. The Bible says, on the Lord's Day. Now, there is only one day identified as the Lord's Day. What do I mean by that? One day he is set aside. One day he has put parentheses around. One day he has breathed in and said, this day shall be holy. It shall be a rest day unto you. So now, John says, on the Lord's Day, he was in the Spirit. Recognize what John is. Can I just put this down for a moment? I just need to talk a little bit about this part. John has been banished. He has been beaten. He has been tormented. He has been tortured. He has been left by himself. But somehow, John has kept count of the days. And in the midst of keeping count of the days, the Bible says John is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. It means no matter what has happened, he just knows it hasn't happened yet. It's part of that experience where he recognizes that although he's going through something, he still knows who his Lord and his Savior is. And so no matter what they put him through, no matter how hot the oil is, no matter how his skin is still recovering from those third-degree burns and is raw and is open, the Bible says John is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I don't know what psalms he was singing. I don't know what tune he was humming. I don't know what scripture he was reciting, but somewhere along the line, the Bible says that John is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he hears a voice coming up from behind him. And it's the voice of Jesus the Christ, but he has never heard him quite like this. Where are we going? In chapter 6, it says he hears thunder, and it's the voice of a beast saying, come and see. In other words, when John hears a thunder, it is not a storm in heaven. That's just how they talk. A lot of us, we've gotten this idea that while we're in the house of God, in the sanctuary, in the presence of God, we ought to be shush, quiet. Shh, tiptoe. Don't talk too loud. What you need? What? What? You end up whispering louder than you talk. What? What? Shh, shh. The shush is louder than just saying, can you just hold it down a little bit? The Bible says John is there, and he says, a beast says that says to him, and it sounds like thunder, come and see. And so John now is caught up, and the Bible says he's caught up to come see. All of a sudden something happens. Now this is where it gets me. It says, and I saw, I'm in verse 2, chapter 6, and I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And the Bible says, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Watch me now. Verse 1 says that all John saw first was the Lamb of God. We'll see it in chapter 5 in a few moments. The Lamb opened one of the seals. And as he opened one of the seals, all of a sudden he hears something and he sees something. One more time. I'll do it. I'll take my time and get there. I got happy early. Watch this. Chapter 1 of Revelation. John sees Christ. He never saw him before while there on the island of Patmos. Jesus then lets him know that I have to reveal something to you, and I'm going to give you a message for all the churches that are around you, but not just for today, but for the future as well. In chapter 2 and chapter 3, John receives 7 letters for each church in the region, but also messages for us today, right? That seventh letter, we oftentimes refer to it as the Church of Laodicea. In other words, our current time experience, right? Now, that's chapter 3. When chapter 4 opens up in Revelation, very quickly, when chapter 4 opens up, it opens up by saying, John is there and he sees a door open in heaven. This is heavy. Leave a door open? You ever leave a door open? Not now, back in the days. Remember back in the days? You could leave your door open for a little bit, get some breeze come in. Have some breeze go out the back. Just kind of, you know, just cool the house down before central air. Oh. That boy, y'all said Diddy, boy. You just temperature now. Just Google it. Google Nest it. Is that how you do it, right? We used to have to open the door. And you have one big fan. And that fan would send the breeze through the house. And when you get too hot, you sit in front of it. We had a good fan. You know, we had a good old dust fan full of dust. You ever had a fan full of dust? You ever have that? You just never clean it? Just keep dust. Just keep, because it stays on all the time. You can't clean it. The steel blade. You ever have steel blades? You ever make sure your parents aren't looking around and put some paper inside and watch you chop it? You ever? Just me? Okay, watch, right? The Bible says the door in heaven is open, and John hears a voice saying, come up here, I want to show you something. So understand, before this, John wasn't, he was just getting the word for the seven churches, right? Then all of a sudden he hears a voice, come up. And they open the door in heaven. The Bible says John goes up, and he goes up, and he's literally in the throne room. And he sees one sitting on the throne. It's not Jesus. Watch this now. There's one sitting on the throne, and it's glorious. It's beautiful. I mean, oh, man, there's a rainbow that goes all around. It is not broken. You got to get that. We right now, just so you know, we see broken rainbows. That's a sermon. We see broken rain. When we're driving sometimes, we think it's just rain refracting, you know, water refracting light and light going through little. But we only see half the rainbow. Paul says, right now we see things through a glass dimly, but a time will come when we'll no longer see it dimly. We'll see it for what it is. We'll see him, Jesus, for who he is. The Bible says that there's a bow that goes around the throne. It is not broken in half. It's a full bow around the throne. They don't even call it a rainbow. We call it a rainbow because we associate it with rain. Before rain. I wish I had time to preach some of this, but I know you're tired. Or is that just me? There was a bow in heaven, and in Genesis, when God spoke to Noah after the flood, he said, I will take my bow and put it in the sky as a reminder and a covenant and a memorial for you. In other words, I'm going to give you a sign. So every time it rains, you'll know the promise, I won't destroy the earth with water again. It's not something that happened scientifically. It's something that God let happen through his science. So John says, I see it in Revelation chapter 4. There's a bow wrapped around the throne, and there's one that sits on the throne, and he hears all these songs. I mean, it's just heaven is off the chain. It's loud, but not distorted. You know, like his first car stereo system? It was loud. It just wasn't hitting right, bro. Just... License plate kept flapping, making a lot of noise. Or was that just mine? The Bible then says in Revelation chapter 5, we're going somewhere. All of a sudden, the voice goes out and says, who is worthy to take the book, to look upon the book, and to read the book? All of a sudden, Jesus pops up on the scene. Understand, John saw him earlier in his priestly robes, but now he's seeing him differently. Now, all of a sudden, in Revelation chapter 5, the Bible says, all of a sudden, the lion, John begins to cry. He's very emotional right now because there's no one that gets up to take the book, to look upon the book, and to read the book. He said, there's no man was found worthy to do any of these things. And all of a sudden, the angel comes over him and says, weep not. One of the elders come, weep not. For the lion of the tribe of Judah, he has victory and he has conquered, and he can take the book, talking about opening ceremony, he can look upon the book and he can read the book. And John's like, what? Huh? What? And he's crying. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, when he says the Lion of the tribe of Judah, watch this now. All of a sudden, the Bible says John sees the Lamb as it had been slain. But the elder told him that the Lion of the tribe of John says, I see a lamb. But the elder said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but John sees a lamb. I wish we could get this. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, we just read it, verse 37, he says, no, we are more than conquerors. But in verse 36, he says, we are as sheep led for the slaughter all the day long. And then Paul goes on to say, but yet we are more than conquerors through Christ who has loved us. In other words, though you may look like a lamb, though you may behave like a sheep, God says you are a victor. In other words, you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In other words, you allowed the death to take place. You allowed the crucifixion to take place because it was part of your plan from the beginning. They didn't get rid of you. You were helping to get rid of sin. So when John sees the Lamb as it had been slain, John sees victory through Christ, and he recognizes that Christ's kingdom was not what they thought it was all about. They thought kingdom on earth. Christ says, I'm trying to give you kingdom eternal. My Father's kingdom is not of this world. Kept trying to tell them over and over again. So now John sees this. All of a sudden, Jesus walks through real cool. And he walks in the midst of the throne where the four beasts are, where the 24 elders are, where there are those before the throne, the angels all around. Jesus walks up and he takes the book from him that sat up on the throne. He takes this book that has seven seals on the back side of it. And he takes the book from the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And there is no objection as to whether he has a right to do it. He takes the book, and as he takes the book, all of a sudden, all the praise that was going this direction, it shifts. And there's a praise fest in heaven. They start praising, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. They start singing these songs. It's powerful. Revelation chapter 5. And then all of a sudden, our scripture focus, our little reference text in chapter 6, he does what? He takes the book and he opens the first seal. I'm talking about the opening ceremony. In the opening ceremony, as he opens the first seal, the very first thing that happens is there is a man on a horse with a bow, and he's given a crown. Given a crown, not he doesn't have a crown originally. He is given a crown as he's riding a horse, and it says he's going forth to conquer and conquering. As I was watching this thing, and this, you know, from years past, they have what they call these individuals who are going, and everyone believes that they are going to conquer and be conquering as they go forth to represent their country. That's the idea. You're going to conquer. The Bible says, as the seal is opened, as we have this opening ceremony in heaven, there is one who is going forth to conquer and conquering. Let me read it, because I don't want it to be lost on you that I said it. The Bible says, and I saw, I'm reading verse 1 again, chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Voice just rocking all of heaven. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's the first seal. Now, what's interesting, as you go through commentators and other individuals who have studied this, it is believed, and we have accepted as part of our teaching, that this is the apostolic church. This is the first church. The church that goes forth conquering and to conquer. And so when you see him with a bow, it is going into warfare. And the question is, what kind of warfare? Remember, Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against some wickedness in high places. This first seal represents the work of expressing and evangelizing the gospel to the world amidst all manner of adversity. As you go through each one of the seals, it represents a different aspect of what's taking place in our history to date. But I want to just deal with the opening ceremony, because I think it's important for us to recognize that even though we're going through what we're going through, it's just the opening ceremony. You haven't gotten any blood on you yet. There's no sweat yet. You haven't cried yet. There's no weeping yet. It is just the opening ceremony. And as I'm looking at Christ opening up the seal, there's something beautiful about the experiences of those who have gone on before us. And as we take a look at scripture, I just wanted to see if I could just have license for a moment. We will not be long, I can assure you. It will only be up to you how long we go. I'm done. All done. But you notice the musician's not moving. He doesn't believe me, right? He's just. I know him. He just, mm-mm. But it's just the opening ceremony. It is just the beginning. This is how it begins. There's it's not over. We haven't begun the competition, the conquering. We're just going forth to conquer and to be conquering. But as I examine scripture and I'm looking at this thing and I'm wondering to myself, I just want to have some, if we can, just go through and then we'll be done. I'm looking at, for example, Eve. And I'm examining and I'm looking at Eve and I'm saying to myself, imagine what Eve encountered when her husband said that she's responsible for the downfall of mankind. When God shows up, has a conversation, he says, who told you that you were naked? Who told you to eat it? And he said, the woman you gave me, Eve. Imagine what Eve went through. And all I have to say about that situation, because some of us may be going through the same thing, being blamed for something, is just, Eve, that was just the opening ceremony. No need to have to worry about this ending the way that it is right now. That was just the opening ceremony. I thought about Abel. And I thought about Abel in the field with his brother Cain and having a conversation. And I wondered to myself, in the middle of that conversation, when Abel first was struck by his brother, exactly what was going through the mind of Abel, what was troubling him, because the Bible says, here's what God says. God says that I can hear your brother's blood calling out from the ground. But Abel, it was just the opening ceremony. Don't get discouraged. It wasn't going to always be this way. That was just the opening ceremony. I thought about Abraham. I thought about Abraham and while he was there in Mount Moriah and while there and told that he had to sacrifice his son, his only son, and offer him up as a burnt offering. It is one thing to say, I have to give my son away. But it's another thing to say, I have to not only cut his throat, but then burn him and smell his flesh being burnt before me. And Abraham is standing there willing to do it. But I thank God that he was able to let him know, turn around, there's a ram in the thicket. That's just the opening ceremony. That's just not how it has to be. I thought about the Red Sea. I thought about the Red Sea. I thought about the children of Israel at the Red Sea. And while they're at the Red Sea, I can imagine in their minds, they were thinking, it's over. Well, not even imagine, it's in the Bible. It's over now. How are we going to make it over? And out here to be killed. And you could have left us in Egypt for this. And the Bible says, as Moses cries out to them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I can imagine those words that's resonating and saying, this is just the opening ceremony. You're getting ready to see some brighter things. We're getting ready to have a parade right through the middle of the sea. As I'm sitting there examining that, I thought about Joseph. Thought about Joseph in prison. Or matter of fact, let's go back a little bit. I thought about Joseph in the pit. Can you imagine while he was there in the pit listening to his brothers converse and eat lunch? While he was down in that pit, thrown in the pit, not placed gently, not he was thrown in there and then taken out and given over to these individuals to be sold into slavery and then accused wrongfully and lied on and ended up in prison. Can you imagine what that experience was like? But I can see Joseph even in prison saying, this is just the opening ceremony. I thought about Ruth. I thought about Ruth being married and losing her husband and leaving her people in Moab and traveling with this old lady, Naomi, who had nothing left. I can imagine Ruth just sticking with it, though, because Ruth said, I want your God to be my God and your people are my people. In other words, this is just the opening ceremony, Naomi. I'm a rider. I wish we could all find some riders. Some of us don't know what a rider is. Some of us don't have no riders. You know what a rider is? A rider is someone who's with you when it seems like nothing else is left in you or no one else is left for you. And a rider says, I'm still with you. I'm a ride with you. And then all of a sudden, you have your increase. Because what happens when you get your increase? People find you. They're like ants on sugar. Just, you know, ants just come out of nowhere. That's how people are when you get your increase. But the person who stays with you when you're in that pit, that's that rider. Ruth was there and realized this is just the opening ceremony. And look what happened for Ruth. I think about Job. I think about Job because Job lost everything. Job lost his fortune. He lost his children. He lost his health. He lost his wife to good sense. And Job says, this is just the opening ceremony. There's still some more left for me. Think about this. It's one thing to lose money. It's another thing to lose children. Another thing to lose your health. But then to have your friends tell you, it happened because of you. Some people can sympathize. Oh, I'm sorry this happened to you. Such a good. No. But they told him it's because of you, Job. And Job says, it's just an opening ceremony. I came naked from my mother's womb. I'll go back. It's just an opening ceremony. You have to love that. I think about David. And I think about David being one who, while they're in the field and told to go check on his brothers, and his brother telling him, I know you're full of pride. I know your heart. I know you're not right to be left in the field when the father says, we are gathering all of his children together to be anointed, and to be left in the field and not called even to eat the dinner. Forget the anointing, but not to even have the dinner with everyone else. Forgotten. And for Samuel to say, is there any more? And for the dad to say, you know what? I have one, but imagine your parent says, on you. He says, I have one more, but it's not him. Just call the boy and get the anointing. Let's see what happens. Jesse. But Jesse, he reluctantly calls the boy, and he does not get a chance to have any kind of a consecration, does not get cleaned up. The Bible says, but he receives the anointing, and that, I will tell you, the opening ceremony. Think about Manasseh. Manasseh, that's a hard one, right? You take your own child and pass him through fire as a sacrifice. But I think about Manasseh being chained up and brought on the back of chariots and being driven out. And Manasseh realizing it's just the opening ceremony. Even though he practiced idolatry, even though he turned his back on God, even though he let Israel further idolatry, Manasseh knows it's just the opening ceremony, and he cries out to God while in shackles and in chains and asks God for mercy. What an awesome God we serve. And he recognizes just the opening ceremony. I thought about Manasseh as well. Then I thought about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Remember those boys? You imagine getting kidnapped from your home as a child, brought into captivity, and standing before the king's servant and standing strong and saying, this ain't nothing but an opening ceremony. I'm not eating that. You imagine being thrown into a fiery furnace and not flinching before you go in. Let's be honest. Come on, let's be honest. Has anyone ever been in front of some fire, some real like fire? Anyone ever been to a hibachi? You ever been just sat in front of a hibachi, little, and you ever see them do a little volcano, right? You ever feel the heat? And it'll check your eyebrows later on. You ever have that moment? The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar heated up the furnace 7 times hotter. That means when they were standing outside, and Nebuchadnezzar was sweating. And these boys did not flinch, recognizing, yo, I know you heated up a little bit more, but our God's able. This ain't nothing but an opening ceremony. And truth be told, if he's not going to save me, I'm good. You imagine telling people that if God does not deliver you, you still all right? Let's be honest here. Let's take that moment. Because as you were ministering through song, and you talked about the person who had a little issue with the word yet, the idea is we're looking for deliverance. But a lot of times we don't make our calling and our election sure based upon even if God does not deliver, he's done enough. I have to go here. I didn't plan to go. We have to stop basing our Christianity on the deliverance we expect and just give God thanks for what he's done already. And if he chooses to deliver you moving forward, that's up to God. But I'm going to be all right based upon what he has done. You got to stop putting God on contingency. That's just not a good relationship. If you deliver me, I'll serve you. That's, you know what I mean? You know what that's like? Can I say this? It's going to get uncomfortable right now. Can I talk to you? Because it's going to get uncomfortable. That's like telling your spouse, I'll be faithful as long as you are. You ever have those friends who tell you that? Not you. You ever have that? I mean, you cheat on me. I'm gonna do the same. You gonna see what they like out there. You ever have that? No, because the idea is you're doing it according to your relationship with God, not based upon your relationship with the person who you claim to be in love with. That's uncomfortable. And that's where we get this whole idea of 50-50. You ever hear that 50-50? You ever hear that? Marriage is a 50-50 relationship. You get 50% of you. But just think about what you're saying now. Two people, it's a 50-50. Where the other 50 at? Where's that going? Who's it going to? I'm gonna come a little closer. Let's watch this. Because I went to public school, my math is a little different. This is nothing against the administrators here and educators here at public school. My public school is just very different. Not the elementary school, that was a good one. The middle school and the high school, deficient. Watch this. 50% plus 50% equals 100%. But that's not how your marriage should do the math. Because if you're only giving 50% and your spouse is only giving you 50%, that means somewhere else in the cosmos, there's someone else that's getting another 100%. You see how that math works? Because we don't account for the remainder. We can't treat God based upon the payout. He already paid it all. So we're asking God, look, here's what I'll do based upon your payout. When I see you deliver, I'll praise you. Somebody said, it was a song I heard. I love this part. It says, praise him while you wait. In the midst of waiting, the Bible says it clearly. The scripture says it. Psalms, was it 27, the last verse? It says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. In other words, don't just wait. I'm waiting on you, Lord. You ain't do nothing yet. I don't know what's wrong with you, Jesus. Ain't nothing come through you. I can't get no job. Can't get no help. That's not good courage. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. You know what that is? That's on some old, Lord, I can't get, I don't have nothing to eat. Woo! We fasting today. Woohoo! We fasting today. You understand? You ever see that man in that commercial with the cold cuts? You know what I'm talking about? Isn't it Geico? They call his number. 40, was it 44? It's 40, you know it. We'll talk a little bit. Right? And they say, number 44. Whoa! That's me! Woo! We're going to get some cold cuts today. Now, my whole thing is, if you can get happy off of cold cuts, and the brother, he already had some cold cuts already. Didn't he already had some in the car just looking at him? He's dead. But he is so happy off the cold. Why can't we get happy like that off of God? When your name comes up for a trial, well, you're going to be mad at me on Monday morning. I didn't want that. And Jason came up talking about something, be happy for a trial. And I said amen one time. And then that trial comes. But Job, knowing his name came up, his number came up, not during the trial. It wasn't until after the trial was over when God said, gird up your loins like a man, like a champion. In other words, Job, you conquered. Job chapter 38. I love that little discourse between God and Job. He says, who's you? Job said, I can't say a word. Put my mouth on my hand on my mouth. Lord, I have nothing to say. Because guess what? You got to learn how to wait and be of good courage. Good courage. Just be happy while you wait. It's not easy to wait. But how many of you? How many? You ever expect a child? There are some circumstances where expecting a child or pregnancy can be just a harrowing experience. Just troublesome. It can be just health scares. You also have situations where there's incest or rape, and so those aren't necessarily a joyful experience. But I'm talking about the ones where you prayed for a child and you're expecting this child. Are you of good courage while you wait those 9 months, those 40 weeks? Are you of good courage? Or are you saying, man, this thing inside of me kicking, won't stop growing? Or are you of good courage every time you go there and say, it's the size of a grapefruit? See his little hand? And I think they're lying sometimes too about some little hand. I don't know if that's a hand. I don't know. I did save your picture, though. I did save it. I saved it. Waiting and being of good courage while you wait. I thought about Nehemiah. Nehemiah's there. And Nehemiah has to build this wall. He wants to restore Jerusalem. And while he's there, he has people who are coming up and making up all types of stories and lies. Nehemiah says these words. I love what Nehemiah says. Nehemiah says, keep doing the work with a blade. Nehemiah says, stay strapped, but do the work. Don't become discouraged. Do the work. In other words, why? This is just an opening ceremony. We're just trying to open up the city again. Opening ceremony. What you got? Jeremiah. Think about Jeremiah. They threw him in a pit. Slapped them all in the face. Called him a liar. Jeremiah tried to stay quiet, and then he realized it's the opening ceremony. I can't stay quiet. Said fire is like it's in my bones. And he had to express the goodness and the power of God in his life. Just the opening ceremony. Hosea, yo. You imagine having a Gomer? No, right? Yeah, I know. She didn't just make a mistake one time. Hosea's wife, it wasn't even a mistake. Gomer had a way of life. And Hosea had to take her back, and not just take her back. He had to go and tender goods in order to get her back. I'm talking about the opening ceremony, realizing that this is just the beginning. Somebody said Joseph. Joseph, we talked about Joseph in the pit, didn't we? And how when he had to stand in front of his brothers, and his brothers showed up, and he revealed to them who he was, and he says these fateful words, these powerful words. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He sent me here to preserve a nation. In other words, he sent me here for the opening ceremony for our nation. Just a powerful revelation of God's goodness. I thought about Joshua, the high priest. Remember Joshua the high priest and Zechariah had on the dirty clothes? And the devil was trying to stop him from performing his duties. And God said, take off his filthy garments and dress him in priestly robes. You imagine when God says, even though you've done what you've done, even though you are who you are, I want to use you, and I'm going to start with the opening ceremony of your life, and I'm going to cover you in some new clothes. You see, we keep thinking tithe is doing it. But I'll tell you something. My son came home, and he had been playing outside and had some mud stains in his pants. And pants were washed, stain still there. Pants treated with stain treatment, stain still there. There's just some stuff in our lives that no matter what we do, the stain is still there. But I thank God who says, I'm not trying to fix the stain. I just want you. So take off the garments. I have new stuff for you anyway. Don't worry about trying to wash up, clean up, and do all that stuff. The prodigal son, same thing, right? He comes home, and the dad doesn't say, what happened to you? The dad says, bring him what I've held over him for him. I've kept some stuff for him. You didn't pack everything. I still got your size. You imagine your dad covering your dirtiness with his goodness. Think about Joshua and just being the opening ceremony of his life. I thought about Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How do I get this thing? And Jesus says, you have to be born again. In other words, you have to be born again, ready for our opening ceremony. And Nicodemus said, how can I do this? You're tripping. I'm going to enter my mother's womb again. And Nicodemus was there to understand, but Nicodemus couldn't bring himself to understand. And Christ recognized that you spent all this time in school, you've gotten all this education, and many of us have spent a lot of time in school, gotten a whole lot of education, a whole lot of degrees and initials and dots. You ever see people put all the dots after their little degree? ED dot. PHS dot. MD dot. I like Jesus. He don't use commas. He don't use dots. I love it. I love the scripture's beautiful. It just says King of K. It doesn't say KK dot. Doesn't do that. He doesn't say LL dot. LOL. You imagine if Jesus had an initial after his name that said LOL dot, what would you think? Would you think Lord of Lords? Or are you thinking he wants to laugh out loud? What are you thinking? Right? That's why he does that spell. People like me, basic people, spell it out. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, Will in the Middle of a Wheel, Anchor, Bishop of Our Souls, Cornerstone, the Anchor. Just spell it out. For me, basic folk like me, just spell it on out. The Bible says, then in the midst of all that, Nicodemus realized this is just an opening ceremony. I thought about the son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus. You imagine Bartimaeus sitting there on the side of the road begging and saying, son of David, have mercy on me. They told him someone said Jesus is coming. Someone said his ministry has begun. Someone said this is the opening ceremony. And Bartimaeus said, I will not be denied. I want to not only see, I want to see him. He says, have mercy on me, son of David. I heard about you. I've had people explain your goodness to me. I prayed to you. I waited for this moment. And so God ordained it that Bartimaeus would be begging in the place that Jesus will walk by. Some of us have to understand that where we are, God has us sometimes in a place or in a situation. He did not make the situation. Stick with me. He did not make your trench. But he allows you to be in that trench. So when he passes by, you can say, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't know. Sometimes you find yourself in a jail cell. Anyone ever been in a holding cell? That's just me. Sometimes you find yourself there. You have to ask God, Lord, have mercy on me. Sometimes you have to go sit before a committee and have law enforcement gathered around outside while you sit there and explain yourself. Anyone ever had that? Just me. And while you're sitting there, you have to say, Lord, what? Have mercy on me. You ever go to a police department and have to go to an interrogation room? Anyone ever had that door slam behind them? Ching! You ever have that? Go sit down and have the detective ask you. You ever have that moment in your life? Anyone? just me. And you have to say, Lord, have what? Mercy on me. You ever have all that stuff happen to you? And somebody go try and check your record and there's nothing there because it's been covered. You ever had that happen to you? Just me. And so what I'm trying to say is, and just so you know, those are separate instances. And I didn't even give you all of them. Isn't God something? I'm talking about covering you with what? New clothes. And so in the midst of all that, as Bartimaeus is there, he's begging. The Bible does not tell us what he's begging for. But all of a sudden you hear him say, Son of David. In other words, you are King of Kings. You come from a royal line. I trust and believe in you. I need you to have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And in that moment, the Bible says, Bartimaeus isn't just seeing, but he sees Jesus opening, literally opening ceremony. I think about Peter's mother-in-law. Anyone ever have a mother-in-law that you love dearly, who lives with you? Peter's mother-in-law, sick with a fever. Peter brings Jesus home. And Jesus heals his mother-in-law. I'm talking about an opening ceremony. You imagine the first time you encounter Jesus, your fever, your temperature's through the roof, you're near the point of death, and that cooling spirit from on high gives you relief. I think about that thief on the cross. Thank you. Which one? The other one. And I think about a thief who all of his life has done all manner of crime, robbed people, and has done all manner of, not just thievery, but potentially all type of violent crimes as well to try and get what he has. And what seems as though it is the end of his life, hanging on a cross, being crucified, fate would have it. God would have it. God's fate would have it that you would be crucified next to Jesus this day. You imagine that? You imagine going through your trial, going through your conviction, going through your post-conviction relief motions, and everything being denied, and them saying you are sentenced to death. On this day, you'll be put to death and not realize it's the same day Jesus will be next to you. You imagine getting the news and crying and weeping bitter tears and grinding your teeth and saying, why did I do this? And sitting there and all of a sudden, you are next to Jesus. What timing is this? A lot of us are going through some stuff. I say us. I'm talking about us. A lot of us are going through some things and can't figure out why right now. Lord, why me? Why now? Lord, please, please. And God is saying, I'm planning to meet you somewhere. So even though the world is putting you through something, I plan to meet you right on time. When I meet you, we're going to have our opening to a new life ceremony. The thief knew enough to say, Lord, remember me. When you come in, when you do your opening ceremony, remember me. And then I think about Joseph of Arimathea. This brother was so moved that after seeing Jesus on the cross, he took his body, and it was a naked, bloody body, not broken though, it was dead. And he takes a new linen cloth and wraps his body. But what I love about this is that as he wraps his body and Nicodemus comes along, because he was there for his own opening ceremony, they take 100 pounds of aloe and they go and they lay his body in a borrowed tomb. Because it's just the opening ceremony. It was not the closing. It's the opening ceremony. And they put him in a borrowed tomb. And as they put his body in a borrowed tomb, that Friday night and that Saturday night, but on that early first day of the week, the Bible says by the time Mary and the disciples, who she had to go get because they were scared, came and looked inside the tomb, they saw the linen cloth that was wrapped around his body folded up and laid aside, and the linen cloth that was wrapped around his head folded up separately from the one around his, from his body. And as they saw that, it was clear. Thank you, Joseph of Arimathea, but that was just a opening ceremony. I don't need that anymore because Jesus has new clothes. I am blown away when I consider that the robe that Jesus had on the cross, after the cross, was left in the tomb. Because as I watched these athletes traveling down this river on these boats in their beautiful outfits, you wonder what will become of those outfits in a couple of weeks when they have to go travel back across that same river and head back home. Something that gets me, and I'm done. I wonder what you're going through today. He believes me. That's just your opening ceremony. Know that thing you've been struggling with? It's just an opening ceremony. Bruh, they kicked me out, but that's just an opening ceremony. They fired me from my job. That's just an opening ceremony. Can't pass this class. I can't get my degree. I owe them. That's just an opening ceremony. Every disappointment is just part of your opening ceremony. It won't end like this. It won't end like this. See, the reason why the book of Revelation is so sweet, and I love it so, is because after you get done reading Revelation chapter 6, they go through all the seals. They run through the seals, and they get down to the last one. And all of a sudden, as Jesus is there, he has flipped open that sixth seal. And all of a sudden in Revelation chapter 7, the Bible says, hold up, wait. Let me make sure that my children are sealed. Let me make sure they are sealed before we unleash what's to come. And the Bible says, go through and they start numbering 12,000 from this tribe and 12,000 from that tribe. But what I love is, Andre, is that when they get done going through 12,000 by 12 and they get to the 144,000, then they say, and then John saw another number that no man could number. And the Bible says that the angel asked John, who are these? Who are these people that you see dressed in these robes and these pretty outfits? John's just on. He said, I don't know. And he says to John, these are they who have gone through great tribulation. Watch me. What they had on is full of blood. Their tears, sweat, grime, they've gone through it. Great tribulation, great trials. He said they washed in the blood of the Lamb. And there is no remnant of stain. There is no remnant of difficulty. They have what? They have overcome it. Why? Because they are more than conquerors through Christ who has loved them. So, as you watch if you're so inclined, these summer games, I want you to think about, this is just a couple of weeks, but people have dedicated their whole life to this moment. And so my question, message of hope is, what have you dedicated your life to, if not this moment? The opening ceremony is just the beginning. Your trial, that's just the beginning. Your difficulty, it's just the beginning. Your disappointment, it's just the beginning. Your dismay, your broken relationship, that's just the beginning. Disobedient children, because you were disobedient, it's just the beginning. God says, I won't leave you there. I'm just trying to get you from where you are to where you ought to be. Because after John sees that number, fast forward, and in Revelation chapter 21, John says he sees the river. So yesterday they had the river over there and they were traveling on boats. But John said, I saw the river. He said, I saw the river. It was pure as crystal. They had rain in France yesterday. They had rain during the opening ceremony. But John says, the only clouds you see are the ones that Jesus is riding on. He says, no need to get a weather forecast because there's not even a sun there. It's just the glory of the Lamb of God that lights the place up. There's no silver medalists. There are no bronze medalists because the whole place is made out of gold. You get a gold, you get a gold, you get a gold, you get a gold. Everyone gets gold because we are all victors and conquerors through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to know that everything I've gone through, Chiron, is just the opening ceremony, getting me ready for the closing ceremony. I'm not concerned about the trials that come. Are they difficult? Yes. Do they bring you to your knees? Yes, they're supposed to. Do they cause tears sometimes? And do they cause you to start wondering, who do I have on my... Yes. But the Bible tells us that he has sealed you. If you're willing to receive the sealing, it's literally the Holy Spirit of God. Adversity is going to come. But if you have the Holy Spirit covering you, you'll make it. I'm closing now. I don't know. I think I may have told you guys. In August 11th. I believe it. Yes, the 11th. Many, many years ago, I was 15 years old. And I had just had a concert at the church where I was in the choir. And finished singing in the choir, and we had on these little ugly gray suits with these purple ties and a purple long pocket square. Looked a mess. But we thought we looked good. But that night, we were having a pool party after the concert. So I took off that suit, got rid of that tie, and I put on my sneakers and the clothes that I wanted to wear because we're getting ready to go to a pool party. But while we went there, we got there a little early. Like, man. And one of the guys I was with, you know what, let's go over to this place they call the Roots Festival. Not too far from the church. So we get in the car with another individual and four of us head over to the Roots Festival. Long and short of it, we get into a fight, or I get into a fight. And I say that specifically for a reason. The person who drove never got touched. You got to ask yourself, and someone's supposed to be with you, how they don't get touched, but you're in the middle of a fight. Get to that later. The other guy got knocked out cold. He missed the whole thing. And then the other person, he was there. And we get into a fight. And we get done fighting. They broke the fight up and they told us to exit the building. So I exit the building. Just finished singing the praise of the Lord, by the way. Talk about the Lord's anointing. Did all that singing. And exit the building. We exit the building. We're standing there waiting for our ride to come. All of a sudden, this guy walks up to me. Big dude. Grown. You ever have a grown person talk to a child? Which one of y'all swung on my brother? Now my brother. Your little brother came out swinging. We did what we had to do in response. But he wasn't there to listen to reason. He pulled out a nickel-plated gun out of his pocket and was asking the question. And as he pointed at it, I didn't stick around long enough to have him, you know, have a conversation. Someone taking a gun out, you got to make a move. So I take off running. And a friend of mine is with me. He's running with me. And now it's raining. I got blood covering my face. And the rain is just, and I can barely see. But I know for sure there's a gun behind me. Now I hear the shots. Boom, 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 gunshots. And I'm running to the vehicle. The messed up part is I'm running past cop cars. No one's moving. We get to the car, get in the vehicle. They shot up the car, the back window, shot it all out. And we leave. And I think that's probably the first time I realized what it means to be covered in the midst of adversity. I want you to understand, I left with every limb working. No bullets. Didn't hit it. So when the scripture says 1,000 by your and 10,000 will fall by your, but none shall come nigh thy dwelling. I got it now. I didn't get it then. My point is, when you are sealed and covered by the Holy Spirit, when these adversities come that are talking about in Revelation chapter 7, you don't have to worry about what's going on around you. Will it become disheartening? Yeah. Will it be troublesome? Definitely. But you're covered. You're sealed. So today, as we close, I just want to say that there's something special about walking and being sealed by God, especially in these days. So I'm going to invite whomever it may be, if you want to just join in this prayer. We're praying that the Lord will cause his Holy Spirit to fall afresh and keep us so we can get from the opening ceremony to the closing, which is really the opening ceremony again in heaven. Is there anyone who wants to join in and get on that river where you don't need a raft, you don't need a boat? All you need is to hear your name. And you can make it in. John said he saw a pure river, clear as crystal. On both sides of the river, there's a tree of life bearing 12 manner of fruit. But you know what John said before we close? He said, but he saw no sea there, no separation of nations. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every nationality, all of God's children, coming under one banner, no more separation. So yesterday they had the parade of nations. When God comes, we'll just have the parade of saints. I don't have to worry about Norwegian versus Sudanese versus Panamanian. All God's children under one flag, the banner of Christ Jesus. Is there one who would like to just join me in prayer and say, Lord, I just want to walk in that city. I want to feel your presence with me. Not just today, not just in a moment, but for all eternity. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. That's your desire. You're saying, Lord, I want to be sealed. I want to be covered. I want, dear Lord, for your presence to cover and fill me so I can get from the opening ceremony. I want to get from where Eve was being accused. I want to get from where David was being rejected. I want to get from where Ruth was having lost. I want to get from where Manasseh was having gotten caught up in some foolishness. I want to get from where Job was, where everyone's turned their back on me. I want to get from where Joshua the high priest was, where I need a change of clothes. I need a change of attitude. I want to get from where the thief on the cross was, where I look like death is imminent, but dear Lord, you're willing to give me life everlasting. I want to get from where I am to what you would have me to be. We're praying, Father in heaven, thank you so much for your mercy and for your love. We appreciate, dear Lord, this opportunity. We thank you so much for your scripture, dear Father. For dear Lord, although it feels as though we are sheep being led to the slaughter, you've taught us, dear God, that we are more than conquerors through Jesus the Christ, who has loved us. So, dear Lord, we can do all things. We can do all things, dear Lord, because nothing is able to separate us from your love. So, dear Lord, as you have opened the first seal, as you have opened through, dear Lord, and allow us to go out and evangelize and talk about your goodness. Dear God, there's more to come before you come back. So right now, dear Lord, your children are standing, and we're asking, dear Father, for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us. We need a fresh anointing. Dear Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us this past, dear God, but today we need a fresh anointing from you. We don't just want the Holy Spirit to cover. We want it to infuse and to fill us so we can learn more about you and do more, dear Lord, for you by your grace. Help us, dear Lord, over our addictions. Help us, dear Lord, over our inadequacies and over our health issues. Help us, dear Lord, over our familial, relational discord and issues we're having, dear God, interpersonal issues, dear Lord, issues on the job. Help us do it, I beg you. Dear Lord, I'm just asking you to save us even from ourselves. Help us to realize, dear Lord, that trouble doesn't last always, for you will deliver. For even yet, while we were yet sinners, you set your love upon us. I'm a living example, dear Lord, of you setting your love upon a sinner. I thank you for loving me despite what I've done. And I thank you, dear Lord, for moving upon your children today so that, dear God, we can receive the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit to make it through. Help us, dear God, to say that you are our God and that we are your people like Ruth. Help us, oh God, to say, dear Lord, that the devil designed our disappointments for evil, but, dear Lord, you're going to use it for your name's glory. Help us, oh God, see you when crying out for mercy, dear God. May we see the deliverance and the answer. Jesus the Christ, be with everyone here, I beg you, and save us when you come again. We look forward, dear Lord, to riding down that river of life, eating from the tree of life, and spending all eternity, dear Lord, a winner, a conqueror, by the merits and the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.